This is the Slaw Sports Show on Anchor.fm, with weekly episodes highlighting and breaking down the biggest stories across sports. Make sure to keep up with the latest episodes and breaking news on Twitter by following at Slaw Sports Show, and keep up to date with the latest breaking news around the NFL. The official site of the show, knoble87.wixsite.com/slawsportsreport. And now, here's your host, Cole Noble.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Slaw Sports Show. I'm your host, Cole Noble, a.k.a. Slaw, here for another episode of the Slaw Sports Show. And as you can see today, we are doing our Slaw Sports Show 2022 NFL divisional rankings, record predictions, as it says in our title, whatever you want to call it. Today, we have gone through and have gotten records for all 32 teams. We went game by game, win total by win total. So that is the agenda for today, what we have on today's show. We, you know, spent the last eight episodes of the show breaking down all of these divisions in the National Football League, all of these teams in the National Football League, giving full season previews of what these teams are going to look like this season. And it all came, you know, all comes down to this. We went game by game, you know, the beginning part of this week in terms of getting ready for this episode. You know, this episode, getting to break down what we have going forward here. Just, you know, giving our record predictions. You know, how are all these teams going to fare this season? Who will be our playoff teams? Who will be you know, our top five picks in the draft? Who's going to be, you know, the first two teams out of the playoffs that don't get in? That is what we are going to talk about on the show today. So I'm super excited to, you know, get into it. You know, this is, like I said, 8 weeks in the making pretty much. You know, getting ready for, you know, the start of this episode, you know, all of the work we put in the last couple of weeks, you know, breaking down all these divisions. You guys have been absolutely amazing on the show. You know, the fans, the support, the viewers coming in every single week has been a blast, you know, to break down these teams with you guys. So I always appreciate the support. And if you're new to the channel, stopping by, why not hit the subscribe button on YouTube? Hit the like button. It goes a long way for the channel. If you're, you know, not familiar with the YouTube, you know, platform, you're more of a podcasting fan, we are on the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you get a podcast, at the Slaw Sports Show. You can find all of our previous episodes on, you know, on the podcast or on YouTube as well, posted on our YouTube channel. Even have a playlist made just for our NFL season previews for this season. All eight episodes for each division, leading up to what we have on today's episode. And next week, you know, also is kind of included more of some predictions as of sort, going down and, you know, maybe giving some award predictions next week, just on the agenda, wrapping up toward the start of the season. We have preseason week two this week. Excited to see more games when, you know, we saw a lot of great rookie performances, a lot of, you know, great veteran performances as well. In preseason week one, had some, you know, great action in preseason week one, some great games. Excited to see football back for all 32 teams now. So we're wrapping up toward the start of the season, you know, 3 weeks of the preseason, and, you know, we're right into it with week one of the season. I believe Rams and Bills kick it off the first game of the season. So we went in, like I said, game by game and broke down, you know, win-loss records for all 32 teams, matched them all up to every team's schedule, and we have a finalized record prediction now of what these teams are going to look like this season, who will be our playoff teams, who's going to be, you know, our division champions, who's going to be our wildcard teams. I'm ready to get into it if you guys are. So, you know, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get right into it. So we're going to pull it up here. You saw it at the beginning, pulling it back up. The Slaw Sports Show 2022 NFL divisional rankings. So we're going to flip here and see back to where we will begin. So we know old school method here, pen and paper for all 32 of these teams, all of their games, all of their schedules. So we're going to go ahead and get it started here. The AFC West, we are going to, you know, go top to bottom. Here we go, top to bottom. as we see it. AFC West, NFC West, AFC North, NFC North, AFC East, NFC East, AFC South, NFC South. And then we'll figure out our playoff picture from there, and that. So the AFC West, we're starting with them because that was our very first one, our very first show that we did here on our NFL season preview. So we're going to start in the AFC West, and this is, we talked about it, a tough division, probably the toughest division in football this year, with the way that the Raiders have loaded up, the way the Chargers have been loading up, and, you know, a big extension today to Derwin James. Congrats on getting the bag this morning. But, you know, we have, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs. They're going to be, you know, always be the Chiefs, even without Tyreek Hill in the lineup. They still got Patrick Mahomes, still have Andy Reid, Travis Kelce. They're going to be a great team as well. And then we also have the Denver Broncos. We have the Las Vegas Raiders loading up with some talent. So let's get into it. My prediction of the AFC West, what we're going to have here coming out of this division, I think that the number one seed in this division, or not number one seed, but the number one team, excuse me, the division champions in the AFC West, I think they stay the same. I'm going to continue with it and give it to the Kansas City Chiefs. So we're going to go the Chiefs, and then we'll give our record prediction. I have the Chiefs, based on my win-loss record throughout the, you know, entire schedule that they have, 12-5 for the Kansas City Chiefs. A 12-5 record for the Chiefs is what we have, you know, being, of course, on top of this division. Behind them, and very close behind them in this division, has to be the LA Chargers. The LA Chargers are loaded and have absolutely done everything the right way this season. We're actually going to lower this a little bit so we can hopefully try to put the full team name in there. So yeah, Kansas City Chiefs, 12-5. And then number two, like I just said, we are going to go with the Los Angeles Chargers. And for the Chargers, I have an 11-6 record. So I said, like, you know, very close to what we have. Here we go. Very close to what we have with the Chiefs. I mean, they are going to be one game behind. This is going to be a very tough division. The Chiefs, I think, you know, with my prediction here, the Chiefs are going to be on top, but right behind them is going to be that Chargers team, one win behind the Chiefs in terms of taking over this division. We're trying to get all the formatting right here for the rest of the board. So the Chargers, you know, like I said, you know, what they're bringing in, this is their year. This has to be the year for the LA Chargers. What they're paying Justin Herbert this year, his contract situation is coming up here in the near future. And that's just going to make a lot of things harder. You know, Keenan Allen might be in his final year in Los Angeles with the Chargers unless they can work something out, some sort of restructure on his contract. So this has to be the year. The Chargers have to get to the playoffs first and foremost before you even talk about a Super Bowl run in Los Angeles, you know, on the other side in Los Angeles with the Chargers. This has to be their year. Everything is primed for it. You know, the talent they brought in this offseason, J.C. Jackson, Khalil Mack. It has to be the year for the L.A. Chargers, and I have them going right behind the Chiefs in this division with an 11-6 record. Now, behind the Chiefs, behind the Chargers is where things get interesting with these last two teams in this division. So the Denver Broncos and the Las Vegas Raiders. This is where this division really starts beating themselves up for these two teams, especially with, you know, the shakeout of the rest of their schedule. I'm going to have the Denver Broncos being the next one at the three spot in the AFC West. So here we go, Denver Broncos, and I have them having an 8-9 record. Now, the interesting part here, at the same time behind them, I have the Las Vegas Raiders also having that same 8-9 record. But based on the, you know, win losses that I did out of this division, the Broncos were the team that had the more, you know, better divisional record. I had them 4-2 in the division, while I have the Raiders being 1-5 potentially in this division. So the Raiders, I think, are the team that gets beat up in this AFC West division, and the Denver Broncos are the team that are going to come out on top in that three spot. And unfortunately, they just aren't going to be the team that gets into that playoff spot, you know, as an 8-9 record. That's, you know, a losing record. It's tough to get into the playoffs with. in the National Football League. So, you know, the first year of the Let's Ride Russell Wilson Broncos doesn't end up in postseason glory, but, you know, they do put up a considerable, you know, increased season for the Denver Broncos and one to build on for the future of this team. But just the receiving room, you know, with Tim Patrick going down, not much behind Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton. There's, you know, just some worries I have on defense in Denver that I discussed on our season preview with the Broncos. I just don't feel like this team is the fully, you know, put together roster that we want to see in Denver to give them a shot to make the playoffs out of this division. So that's the AFC West. Now we're going to jump over to our next division in the NFC West. Now the NFC West, of course, Super Bowl champions, LA Rams. I'm going to have them repeating in this division. So we're going to go here with the Los Angeles Rams, and I have the Rams having a 12-5 record. So just like the Chiefs, the Rams also being 12-5. You know, this season is the prediction that we have in place right now for the Los Angeles Rams. You know, bringing in, you know, the talent that they brought in. You know, talk about Allen Robinson on offense. You talk about Bobby Wagner on that defense, and, you know, all the other weapons they have, you know, around them on offense and defense. This team is, you know, primed and ready to run it back in the second year with Matthew Stafford. They even might add Odell Beckham Jr. late in the season back into this offense, potentially on where he's going to end up going. This team, the LA Rams, are going to be tough to beat, and especially out of this NFC conference again. They're, I think, easily going to walk through this division, having, you know, a 4-2 record in this division, which at times has been a very tough division to, you know, go up against in the NFC West. And I think, you know, this year is the year that the AFC West becomes the tougher division, you know, mainly being because of the Seattle Seahawks no longer being a factor in the NFC West. But I had the Rams still coming out on top, 12-5 record, you know, ready to run it back as the top tier kings of the NFC West. So next up behind the LA Rams, just like we did, you know, with the bottom part of the AFC West, with, you know, the two tie records, I think this happens here at the second and third spot in the AFC West, or excuse me, NFC West. But the first one we're going to go with, and the one that I think has the advantage here, is going to be the San Francisco 49ers. I think they have a late season push with second-year quarterback Trey Lance. I think he finds his footing, you know, around week 7, week 8, and then this, you know, 49ers offense will really start captivating the rest of the league and, you know, start putting up some numbers and start, you know, really putting up some points with Kyle Shanahan. Now, on the flip side, I see the opposite for this other team. And we talk about the, you know, first 6-game suspension for Cardinals wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. That's going to be a first, you know, the first 6 games in the Cardinals schedule. They have the Kansas City Chiefs, Las Vegas Raiders. They have the Los Angeles Rams, Carolina Panthers, Philadelphia Eagles, and Seattle Seahawks. So, I mean, that first 3 starts, Chiefs, Raiders, and Rams, are very tough games. The Eagles could be, you know, another tough game for this Cardinals team without having DeAndre Hopkins in the lineup. And we've seen it year after year. You know, the Cardinals are prone to having a second half, you know, collapse in the season. So I think, you know, that's what's going to push the 49ers, you know, having a second half, you know, resurgence out of San Francisco, and then a second year second half stumble out of the Arizona Cardinals again, will actually push the 49ers above them. Even though we do have the Cardinals also finishing at 9-8, some of these head-to-heads in this division late in the season, you know, especially being that Niners game at the end of the year. You talk about the Buccaneers having to go, or excuse me, the Cardinals having to go up against the Buccaneers at the tail end of the season will be a tough game for them. They have the Chargers at the tail end of the season as well. They have a lot of tough games that they have at the end of the season where I can really see this team fall apart. While on the flip side, the 49ers, they have the Buccaneers as well. You know, they have the Saints, but they have, you know, the Dolphins, Seahawks, Commanders, Raiders, and Cardinals to tail out their season. That's where I can see this team really start getting hot offensively and trying to make some late season magic in this division. So those are, you know, the first 3 in the NFC West, and the obvious one that we, you know, everyone is predicting to finish last is the either Geno Smith led or Drew Lock led Seattle Seahawks. So that's what we're in the middle of right now in the preseason, is figuring out, you know, who's going to be the starting quarterback in week one in Seattle. But either way, I don't see this team doing anything this season with either one at quarterback. So we have the Seattle Seahawks finishing last in the NFC West. Just a rough start in the post Russell Wilson era. I know that, a lot of people in Seattle, the beat reporters, the coaches, they, are liking what they have on the roster, but the one thing that they're missing, the one piece that's missing to this team is that quarterback on the offense. And that's what's going to really hold back this team so far this season. So what I have for the Seattle Seahawks is going to be a 5-12 record on the season for the Seattle Seahawks squad. No Russell Wilson, some tough, quarterback play in a very tough to win division. And I mean, even especially, the schedule that they have, also have to go up against the Buccaneers, also have to go up against the Chiefs this season, the Chargers this season, the rest of the AFC West, Broncos, Raiders. So many games where I just don't see a way that the Seattle Seahawks can pull off wins in those games. So we have the Seahawks 5-12, wraps up the NFC West. So the AFC West, NFC West is cleared out. Those two will be the two, toughest divisions in the National Football League. You talk about, top to bottom, the talent they have in those divisions. So now we have the AFC North. We recently just talked about the AFC North going back on our season previews. Again, if you haven't checked those out, go back and watch those episodes. We break down perfectly each one of these divisions, what we should be expecting out of these divisions, and, what is new, what's coming into these divisions. So go back and check out those episodes. So the AFC North, this is the one that's going to be tricky. This is, my biggest, bold prediction division, if you will. And you'll see how it shakes out with the rest of today's episode and the way I have it going. So we're going to go, flip through to the AFC North. And the top of the AFC North is going to come down to pretty much two teams. It's going to be either the Baltimore Ravens or the Cincinnati Bengals, who, are the AFC representatives of last year's Super Bowl. But the Baltimore Ravens, running it back with a healthy and determined Lamar Jackson, trying to get a new deal. Doesn't look like he's going to be getting one before the start of the season. So he is playing on what, could be his last, year in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson needs to impress, needs to get to the playoffs, needs to get playoff wins in order to get a second contract in Baltimore and, continue to be their franchise quarterback. The Ravens are loaded on defense, and I keep talking about them. And yes, the Cincinnati Bengals look great. Yes, they have a great roster. And yes, they were just in the Super Bowl this past season and pretty much are running it back with, the same team with a couple key pieces. But I like the Baltimore Ravens. I like a healthy and determined Lamar Jackson in this division. I like, a regular season Lamar Jackson. This guy for 17 games can be the best player in the National Football League. For 17 games of the regular season, Lamar Jackson, when healthy, is electrifying. And I have the Ravens narrowly on top of this division with an 11-6 record in Baltimore. So I know the Cincinnati faithful are going to, they're going to come at me. Please, it's going to keep happening with, my takes on Cincinnati. Let's just ride through the season together. Those who, the supporters of the Cincinnati Bengals, and then me, who seems to be the only guy opposing them. So that's what we have. Of course, in second place, here we go, Cincinnati Bengals in second place. I think that, they had to be in second place. Joe Burrow in that offense, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins are bringing in, Lael Collins on the offensive line, brought in Alex Kapp on the offensive line. The biggest issue with this team from last season was on that offensive line. In Cincinnati, it was the biggest issue on that team before last season. So I was, insanely happy to see this team finally start to make some additions to that unit on defense, on the offensive line. The defense pretty much running the same, which I'm not entirely, happy with, the lackluster squad that they have on defense in Cincinnati, but we still have, the way that offense is, we still are going to easily have a second place finish from the Cincinnati Bengals. I had them having a 10-7 record on the season in Cincinnati. So looks like we had a little bit of some delays. Looks like we got it back and rolling now. So the Cincinnati Bengals in third place, 10-7 record on the season, or excuse me, second place, 10-7 record on the season in this AFC North division. Next up behind them is a team where I'm not necessarily high on, but this is a team where I'm never going to bet against, and especially a head coach that I will never bet against for the life of me. And we're going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers aren't the flashiest team this year, but they still have pieces. And, you know, rookie wide receiver George Pickens, he's a dog. He looks like an absolute dog. We have an 8-9 record, however, for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That, I think, still gets them in third place in this division in the AFC North. So Pittsburgh Steelers, 8-9 record, whether it's with Mitchell Trubisky, whether it's with Kenny Pickett, I still think that there's games on the schedule where with that defense and some, you know, adequate quarterback play, they can get some wins easily on the schedule this season in Pittsburgh. So the Pittsburgh Steelers finishing third. And honestly, this last, you know, one comes down to the ultimate suspension of Deshaun Watson. What is this going to look like? How many games will it be? I'm projecting at least 12 games to a full season suspension of Deshaun Watson. And in the meantime, I don't see a Jimmy Garoppolo trade to the Cleveland Browns. So I see a Jacoby Brissett led Cincinnati, or excuse me, Jacoby Brissett led Cleveland Browns team bringing up the rear in the AFC North this year. Just the coaching that they have. Yes, the defense is great. Yes, the rest of the roster is great. I still think this team, if they roll with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, just does not have what it takes and brings up the rear. However, you know, still a 7-10 record is honestly not a bad record at all to have in the National Football League. You know, it's not what you would want per se, but just where this roster can easily win seven games. But I think that they're going to be held back tremendously by Jacoby Brissett in terms of what they could have if Deshaun Watson were to take the field. But again, I'm, you know, projecting here a full, you know, 12 at least game suspension from Deshaun Watson, and honestly leaning more towards an indefinite suspension of Deshaun Watson that will last throughout the entire season in 2022. So that wraps up our AFC North. Cleveland Browns 7-10. You know, Nick Chubb gets them some wins. That defense will get them some wins. Jacoby Brissett, I think, is going to get them a lot of losses coming out of this division. So next up, we have the AFC North. A lot of changes. You know, no more Devontae Adams with the Green Bay Packers. New head coach and Kevin O'Connell and the Minnesota Vikings. It looks like that offense, you know, finally might start having some juice this season, which I'm excited to see out of Minnesota to get them moving along with that team and the future of that franchise. A new regime also in Chicago. A new head coach in Matt Eberflus in Chicago. Luke Getsky coming in. We just, you know, that was the last division we wrapped up, was the NFC North and all the big changes coming from them. I didn't even discuss Motor City Dan Campbell going into year two as the head coach of the Detroit Lions and, you know, shining right now in training camp and, you know, shining in Hard Knocks as well. So with the NFC North, yes, no Devontae Adams in Green Bay, but honestly, I had a full episode on it. I still think that that's not an issue for Aaron Rodgers and this Packers offense. The Packers defense, you know, top to bottom, is one of the strongest groups in the National Football League in terms of what they have and what they have returning this season, all the additions they made throughout the draft on that defense. So I have the Green Bay Packers still finishing top of the board and continuing to hold that crown in the NFC North. They have ran that division, you know, for a long time. With the Green Bay Packers, and you know, Aaron Rodgers, he's the back-to-back MVP. Even with no Devontae Adams, I still think he has the pieces around him to make things happen and to, you know, get this offense on the right on the right path and, you know, further winning games this season. So I have a 12-5 record. I do, you know, still think they regress a game. You know, I think Devontae Adams wins them, you know, that extra game last season. But honestly, that's the only game I think Devontae Adams, you know, the absence of him will really cost affect this team this season. And you know, the defense, I think, you know, can win them some games easily on their own. You add in that offense, the Packers are still going to be a strong team this season, even without one of their best playmakers on offense. So next up, number two in the NFC North, we have to go with the team with the new head coach, who looks like their offense is absolutely on top of it right now in Minnesota. This offense looks absolutely killer. Yes, I talked about on the show last week that there are still some issues on the defense, you know, especially in the secondary, some aging pass rushers where it's not the ideal team. And, you know, on, you know, ideal unit on defense that you would want to have. I still think this offense will put up insane points with Kirk Cousins, with Justin Jefferson, with Adam Thielen, with Dalvin Cook. They have insane talent on that offense with a new offensive play caller coming in from the LA Rams that just put up near record-breaking numbers last year. This Vikings team is going to score a lot of points this season, and I think that they're going to, you know, very much be close to rivaling the Green Bay Packers. You know, as an 11-6 team, the Green Bay Packers 12-5 is what I'm projecting here. The Vikings get super close to taking over this division, but I think a late, you know, a big late season win. I mean, I'm talking a Week 17 win. I have Packers over Vikings in Green Bay. I think that would be the deciding game for this division in the NFC North. So we have the Packers on top, Vikings behind them. The next team on our agenda, we got to give it to him. Motor City Dan Campbell. I'm liking what he's doing and liking what he's building in Detroit. And it looks like the Lions, actually, they're going to get close. I don't think that, you know, they're fully there yet. As a franchise having a winning season, I'm projecting a 7-10 record in Detroit this year for the Detroit Lions. I think that'll be insane improvement out of the Lions this season. And, you know, just absolute, you know, Dan Campbell will be, you know, insane with a 7-10 record, you know, improving that much from what he did last year going into year two as the head coach of this team. I think Jared Goff plays well with the new receiving core that they're putting together, you know, eventually getting Jameson Williams back into the fold at that wide receiver room, DJ Chark, Amon-Ra St. Brown still looks to be like the guy in that passing attack, the defense adding in some pieces as well and becoming a stronger unit as a whole. And I mean, honestly, this comes down to just the vibe and energy that Dan Campbell is instilling into this team in Detroit will push them and get them wins this season. So a 7-10 record for the Detroit Lions. Honestly, when I'm looking at, when I'm looking at what we're bringing here when I'm looking at, you know, this team in Detroit, and what they're building, I like it a lot with Motor City Dan Campbell and everything going on with the Detroit Lions. So I think they're on the right path as a franchise, getting back on the right track. They found the right pieces and continue to build piece by piece. But they're on the right track in Detroit. So last but not least, bringing up the rear in the NFC North, we are going to have the Chicago Bears. And the Chicago Bears, we talked about it last week. They have a tough team. They have a very tough team. They have tough weapons on offense for second-year quarterback Justin Fields. They brought in a defensive head coach for a defense that's, you know, running all their players out of town pretty much on that defense. Their wide receiver room is the worst wide receiver room in the National Football League, and it's hard to see this team, where they're at roster-wise, winning games this year. And this is not a biased Packers fan prediction. I think the Chicago Bears have a 2-15 record this year. I think it is going to be a very, very bad year in Chicago. And, you know, ultimately, actually, I'm going to try to clean this up a little bit and make this a little bit bigger for everybody to see it a little bit more. So adjust all of these back up to here. There we go. That's way better. So, yes, Chicago Bears, I don't see them having a good season at all. Honestly, I think I see them having the worst season in the National Football League, all things considered, with what they're going to do in Chicago. So there we go. Make that a little bit clearer for you guys. Chicago Bears, 2-15 record, and we're going to see how that shakes out once we get some more teams on the board with some bottom-tier records and maybe a high draft pick on the way, especially with a 2-15 record. Could be the top draft pick in the league on the way in Chicago this season. So next up, AFC East. This is, I think, an early one that we did on the channel with our season previews. The AFC East, of course, have Super Bowl hopeful Buffalo Bills. It seems like everyone's pick this year to win the Super Bowl is the Buffalo Bills. It's easy to see why with the, you know, Brandon Bean, with what Sean McDermott is building in Buffalo with Josh Allen at quarterback. This team looks stacked. One of the most, you know, perfect rosters that you can even imagine. Even last year had a great roster, and they've added insane pieces to it. You know, through the draft, you know, big, you know, huge free agent signing in Von Miller with this team. So easily, Buffalo Bills on top. in the AFC East. And now what we have for the Buffalo Bills, we are going to go with a 13-4 record that we have in Buffalo. This includes a 5-1 record in the AFC East against their divisional opponents. This Buffalo Bills team is a stacked team. Josh Allen is easily far and away going to be one of the favorites for the MVP award this season. And the Bills as a whole, a favorite to win the Super Bowl this season. And I'm excited to see that. You know, week one game, you know, at LA against the Rams to open the season is going to be a great matchup against the Super Bowl champions and these Super Bowl hopefuls this season in Buffalo. So I'm very high on the Buffalo Bills this year. 13-4 record in Buffalo to really take a start here and, you know, repeat again at the top of the AFC East. Now, behind the Bills, I'm actually going to switch it up from what we had last year. Last year, we had the New England Patriots becoming a playoff team out of this division in the first year with rookie Mac Jones at quarterback. I'm switching that. I'm going to go with 10-7 record for the Miami Dolphins. I think Mike McDaniels, he might turn it on. You know, this is honestly a team that is the biggest boom or bust team in the National Football League, is the Miami Dolphins. Their defense still is absolutely killer on their roster, but no more Brian Flores calling the shots on that defense. And, you know, yes, they tried to keep as much, you know, assistant coaches on, you know, on the roster as possible to lead that defense. They still don't have the top guy at head coach, and instead they brought in a young guy to be the offensive, you know, guru for this team in Mike McDaniel. They immediately went out, made a big trade, you know, splash trade to win Tyreek Hill, you know, making this team having one of the fastest offenses that we have seen in the National Football League. However, still have Tua Tagovailoa throwing the ball there to those guys. I'm honestly infatuated with what the Dolphins can do this year. They can be a 10-win team or they can be a 6 or 7 win team. And it all depends on how this offense operates. This offense can piece things together and can absolutely just piece teams apart with run after the catch, with crossers, with RPOs, with that zone, you know, Shanahan scheme. If all of that works to perfection in Miami, I can easily see them being a 10-win team this season. And, you know, getting back to that 10-win, you know, being a 10-win team, a double-digit winning team in Miami like we saw 2 years ago. So that would be a big improvement from the Miami Dolphins. Going up one win, but this Dolphins offense, I think they have a big improvement this year with Mike McDaniel calling the shots of that offense and getting Tua Tagovailoa finally back on the same page with the rest of this team. So I have the Dolphins in second, and behind them I will have the New England Patriots. Here we go, New England Patriots, and for the Patriots, I'm torn. Absolutely torn because it's, you know, another coach you don't want to bet against is Bill Belichick, but they do not look good this year. They do not look on the same page at all. And, you know, it could be Bill Belichick sandbagging the entire league, but honestly, this offense with either Matt Patricia or Joe Judge calling the shots does not look like a strong offense this season. And the defense, it's all about what, you know, Bill Belichick can put together. And they just had a big blow to the defense yesterday, losing Malcolm Butler for the season, slated to be a starting cornerback for that defense. Now they pretty much are just left with Jalen Mills at cornerback. They have some, you know, big issues that they have to fix in New England. And honestly, in head-to-head matchups, it's going to be, you know, going to be hard to see this team and this style of offense that, you know, they're going to try to run this year. You know, with Matt Patricia or Joe Judge calling the shots, it's going to be hard to see them scoring enough points to take out some of the teams that they have on their schedule. So I have a 7-10 record in New England. Definitely a disadvantage here in New England in terms of what we were able to see the past year going to the playoffs, and especially, you know, the last couple of years in New England. This is going to be another bad year for Bill Belichick and his squad, and he should after this year and get this team, you know, back on the same page. But I just do not see it happening. 7-10 record in New England for second, you know, in the second year of Mac Jones. So next up, we will continue on with it. The last team, we're going to go with the New York Jets in this division. And we're actually having a 4-13 record. And another team that's going to have to answer some questions this year at the end of this season, the way we have it shaking out, will be the Jets. What is the future going to look like in New York? What is the future going to look like for Zach Wilson? You know, already missing, you know, week one, you know, the week one game. You know, it seems like with Joe Flacco appeared to get the start against the Baltimore Ravens. But this Jets squad still missing some pieces, still not knowing, you know, for sure if their quarterback that they drafted number two overall in last year's draft is still the guy that's going to be the, you know, the leader of this team in the future. So that's going to be a lot of questions that they have to answer. But other than that, a tough division. You know, I have a 1-5 divisional record out of the New York Jets this season. A tough schedule that they have up ahead. You know, the Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Steelers to start off the season. They have the Packers, the Broncos, the Bills, the Lions. They have some tough teams that they're going to have to go up against. Hard to find them some wins on that schedule. So I think the Jets, again, going to be one of the bottom teams in the league yet again in New York. So now we're switching over to the NFC East in this one, and this is where things start really getting interesting in terms of this NFC conference and what we're going to try to piece together. So last year, if you remember, me and Matt Laguza, we went into like a 3 to 5 minute debate just about who we have winning the NFC East. Now Matt Laguza got the better of me. Last year I was super high on the now Washington Commanders, formerly Washington Football Team. Matt was, you know, adamant the Dallas Cowboys are this team to beat in this division. I was idiotically way too high on the Washington, you know, Football Team at the time. This year, I'm still not going with those boys. I still do not like the Cowboys in this division this season. But I'm not going with the Washington Commanders. Instead, I'm actually going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think the Philadelphia Eagles and what they're building with this offense, you know, with Jalen Hurts in this offense, you know, bringing in A.J. Brown was huge in this offense to, you know, get them a better, more rounded offensive group. I love the draft that the Eagles had this year. They brought in some key playmakers on defense. Their offense is one of the most, stacked offensive, you know, depth charts in football, and just the running game they're going to have, you know, with the split committee, with Jalen Hurts having a ton of carries, probably again going to lead this offense in rushing yards, and again, A.J. Brown coming to this team, elevating that passing game of that offense will make this team, you know, a tough team to beat. Last year, a playoff team, getting that wild card this year, I had them going up that extra step and winning the division. In the NFC East, but this again will be another tough one. I have a 10-7 division win for the Eagles with a 4-2 divisional record, and right behind them, I will have the Dallas Cowboys also having that same 10-7 record. However, a divisional record of 3-3 puts the Cowboys in second place. We'll see how it shakes out with our playoff spots, but looking like a playoff team with a 10-7 record. But the Eagles coming up, taking over this division this season with Jalen Hurts at quarterback, A.J. Brown in the fold, Devonta Smith in that offense. I like it, what they're doing with Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia. So I got an Eagles division win in the NFC East, the NFC Beast, if you will, and the Dallas Cowboys right behind them at a 10-7 record. So that's the first two teams in this division. Next up, we are going to go with the Washington Commanders in this division. So we'll have to adjust it a little bit here to try to fit this to fit this record in here. 7-10 for the Washington Commanders. I have not liked what the Commanders have been doing, and you know what it looks like. All the reports are coming out of camp week one. Sam Howell looked great. But just we have not heard a lot of good things about Carson Wentz. Actually, we've heard a lot of the same things out of Carson Wentz in these in the Washington offense this year. Antonio Gibson is dealing with some issues at running back. You know, the receivers look great. You know, Terry McLaurin. It seems like Jahan Dotson's coming into his own, being that number two receiver in this offense. Probably will take that spot away from Curtis Samuel in that offense. But just, I don't think they have what it takes. They're going to have a lot of tough losses where you're going to be wondering what is happening with this team this season. And the defense, can they even get back on the same track? I mean, is the defense going to get back on track this year? They, you know, didn't last year. Back in 2020, were a stacked, you know, defensive group, one of the best in the National Football League, bringing in rookie Chase Young. But second year, that team did not look good. especially on the defensive front. And I just don't know if they're going to be able to, you know, get that juice back on that unit and get them back on the same page. So Washington Commanders 7-10 in third place in this division. And last but not least, we will have the other New York team bringing up the fourth place in the East Division, this time on the NFC side. I have a 3-14 record for the New York Giants. And yes, their ceiling is 6 wins. If this team can absolutely put it on this year, Daniel Jones takes a step. You have Saquon Barkley play a full season at running back. You have Kenny Galladay, you know, start trying to build his way back up and his repertoire in this offense. Kadarius Toney in year two looks like he is a much more improved player. Brian DeBall coming in at head coach and offensive play caller. I don't see that happening, though. I don't see all those stars aligning in New York. They've already had some issues with their two rookies. Kayvon Thibodeau doesn't look like he has, you know, an arsenal of pass rushing weapons to go up against against offensive linemen. Evan Neal already showcasing the balance issues that we discussed that he had coming out of Alabama in only his first game in the NFL. So I don't see the Giants, you know, really tacking it on, especially this early, you know, season schedule that they have. Titans, Cowboys, Packers, Ravens, some of the top teams that they have to face early on in the season. It's going to be tough for this Giants squad to get wins, but I have a 3-14 record for them. And again, this is going to be a team having to answer some questions. Is Daniel Jones their guy? How committed is Brian DeBall to Saquon Barkley in this offense? They're going to have to pay him soon. It's going to be a tough year for the New York Giants with a lot of things that they're going to have to figure out going into next offseason. So 3-4 record for the Giants, 3-14, excuse me, record for the Giants, finishes up the NFC East. Two more divisions to go. We'll keep running through them here, and then we can look at some playoff pictures. So next up, we have the AFC South. The AFC South, another interesting one, Matt Ryan coming in to Indianapolis as their new quarterback. We saw the Pat McAfee show. Shout out those guys at joint practice with the Colts and Lions today. And we saw a lot of, you know, good things out of that first team Colts offense, even though we saw some bad things out of that Colts offense in week one against the Buffalo Bills, you know, preseason week one against the Buffalo Bills. But I think this Colts offense wants to get everybody on the field, all the starters in there for week one. I think they started to get some things figured out. That defense looks incredible. You know, you got Darius Shaquille Leonard. You have DeForest Buckner, Yannick Ngakoue, just absolute studs. I mean, you got Stephon Gilmore, Gilly Locks in that secondary as well. The safeties look great in Indianapolis. I'm going to have the Indianapolis Colts winning this division. Again, another, you know, coach I don't want to bet against is Mike Vrabel. And, you know, just what he did last year with that Titans team, you know, losing A.J. Brown for a considerable portion of the season, losing Derrick Henry for pretty much the whole season last year, still being a number one seed. I don't want to bet against Mike Vrabel, but I just think that the Colts pretty much could be the better team in this division this year, top to bottom, what they have on their roster. So an 11-6 record is what I have for the Indianapolis Colts. Taking the top of this division, Frank Wright has to be ecstatic with this. It seems like they're a team on a mission. Bringing in Matt Ryan, Jim Irsay's promise of multiple Super Bowl wins in the next decade, this seems like a team on a mission this year to take over this division and to get back into the playoffs, especially after the dumpster fire week 18 game last season against the Jacksonville Jaguars that kept them out of the playoffs. This seems like a hungry squad to get back into the middle of things this season. So next up, we do have to put the Tennessee Titans. They have to be three. They have to be two. If they're not one, they're two in this division. Again, a 10-7. I'm gonna have a 10-7 record. They're gonna be right behind them. I'm not gonna bet against Mike Vrabel getting his squad on the right track this year. No AJ Brown. It seems like, you know, a lot of bad things coming out with Treylon Burks, who, you know, the first round rookie receiver who is, you know, slated to take over and be the guy with no AJ Brown in this offense. Let's not forget what Mike Vrabel can do with this defense. Their offensive line still in place, a serviceable quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. Oh yeah, and Derrick Henry's coming back. So let's not overthink what this team, you know, or downgrade what this team can do this season. This is still the Mike Vrabel and Derrick Henry led Tennessee Titans we're talking about. That has been a number one seed in the AFC last year. The year before that, we're in the AFC Championship game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And yeah, they lost A.J. Brown. So what about it? When was A.J. Brown on the field in Tennessee to actually be a factor for this offense? This is still a team that has still all of their weapons in place and is ready, you know, primed and ready to, you know, get back into the playoffs. They're, last year's loss to the Cincinnati Bengals was a tough one. You know, the two interception game out of Ryan Tannehill had to be a stinger for the number one seed playing the first game in the playoffs. This team with Mike Vrabel will be hot. They're going to be hungry. With Derrick Henry back, they're going to be rumbling. So the Tennessee Titans, 10-7 record, but just not enough to pass that Indianapolis Colts. I think the Colts just have a better division, better schedule on the way this season, where they can take an advantage, one game advantage over the Tennessee Titans. So in third place in this division, we're actually going to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I like what the Jaguars have done this offseason, especially bringing in Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson is going to be huge for the progression of Trevor Lawrence in the National Football League. He makes a jump this year, not a major jump, but definitely a jump after, you know, leading the league, tying for the league lead last year in interceptions, an awful, you know, first year start out of Trevor Lawrence. But he's got one of his best runs coming back. Travis Etienne at running back, teaming up with James Robinson. They brought in Brandon Sheriff to team up with Cam Robinson on that offensive line. Trayvon Walker looks like a beast on the defensive line. And, you know, we'll see him in week one and, you know, get some action alongside Josh Allen on that defensive line. Seems like the Jaguars are, you know, starting to get some things figured out. The issues I still have with this team are at the wide receiver position, and also just some matchups. They're going to be heavily at, you know, some disadvantages in some matchups, especially in the secondary, that they're going to have to try to battle up against through this season. But they're on the right track. 6-11 will be a great progression for this Jaguars team going into year two with Trevor Lawrence leading the way. So I have a 6-11 record for the Jaguars. Last 2 years finished as the number one draft pick, you know, the bottom team in the division, bottom team in the league last 2 years. I think they make a little bit of some progression and head start in terms of getting the Jaguars back in place. So last but not least, the last team in this division, Houston Texans. Houston Texans with Lovie Smith at head coach. I had them going 5-12. Second year with Davis, you know, Dewey Mills at quarterback. I still think there's some pieces to this Texans team that I like a lot, especially rookie running back Damian Pierce. He looked great. I was very high on him the last couple of weeks, pretty much, you know, especially in my own study with, you know, my own fantasy football study. And he is shooting up the boards now in fantasy football. Looks like he has established himself fully as the lead back of this team in Houston. But still, this is a team that is still one of the bottom rosters in the league, and they're still trying to find some of their franchise cornerstones throughout this entire team. But a 5-12 record that, you know, starts getting them up in the way. And also on the schedule, they're going to have some tough, trying games where they're going to have some leaders hopefully step up and establish themselves long-term for this team. And I talked about it in the season preview. This is not going to be a good season for the Houston Texans, but, you know, they do not have to focus on winning games this year. They have to focus on finding their franchise cornerstones on this team. Who are their leaders? Who are the guys that they're going to build around? And then they can start working up in terms of trying to get some wins. So 5-12 record. Is Davis Mills going to be the guy in Houston? Will be a big thing to answer. And who are their guys that are going to be true leaders on this team? So that wraps up our AFC South. Next, we're going to go in the NFC South, and that'll be our final division. And then we can start looking at a playoff picture and some draft board implications from our predictions. So first and foremost, in the NFC South, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Buccaneers are going to be a top team this year. Tom Brady coming back, Julio Jones adding to the fold, that stacked defense with Todd Bowles now, you know, commanding the ship at head coach. A monster year on the way in Tampa Bay. I have a 14-3 season from Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year. Julio Jones will go absolutely beast mode as his, you know, offense's number three receiver. And we're talking about a future Hall of Famer being a number three receiver for Tom Brady in this offense. Maybe a late season return of Rob Gronkowski. I'm still not, you know, ruling out potentially for this Buccaneers team, especially, you know, with a record like this. That can easily convince Rob Gronkowski into coming back. So this Buccaneers team, they're stacked. They are loaded. And, you know, they're going to be ready to fire those cannons this year and take up, take out the top of this NFC. They're going to be the top team in the NFC this year in terms of what we have coming out. Excuse me. Let's see if we can get back on track. So, actually, we messed up. We got to change something here. We had the LA Rams actually 13-4. So that's what I was thinking of, looking at the top teams in the NFC. A little mix up there. Rams 13-4. We're going to have Buccaneers 14-3. So Buccaneers, the top team that we have, the number one seed in the NFC, will go, the NFC playoffs will go through Tampa Bay with Tom Brady at the fold. So behind the Buccaneers, next up, we are going to have the New Orleans Saints. I'm honestly very high on the Saints this year. I have an 11-6 record for the Saints this season with Jameis Winston. I think of a fully healthy season out of Jameis Winston with a fully healthy Michael Thomas back into the fold. This offense can really, start putting pieces back together in terms of what they started doing at the beginning of the season last year. You talk about that 38-3, huge win that they had over the Green Bay Packers to open the season, an offensive slaughter by this Saints squad. The 5-2 start out of Jameis Winston with this team, with him at quarterback. If he's fully healthy and Michael Thomas, who looks like and seems like he is back, this team is going to be a team to watch out for in the NFC and one that you do not want to rule out of making some noise in the NFC this year. With Alvin Kamara, seems like no suspension on the way, so you have him for a full season. The offensive line locked in place, the defense. They have that same defense, one of the top defenses in the National Football League in New Orleans. This is going to be a great squad if they can really prove that they have pieced everything together with that offense, with Jameis Winston and Michael Thomas coming back. So next up, we have a team that we got first look eyes on this summer. We're going to go with the Carolina Panthers. Now, we're still projecting Baker Mayfield being the starting quarterback for this team. So, of course, because of that, a week one win against the Cleveland Browns with Baker Mayfield at the fold was one of our easy projections that we had this season. But for the Panthers season as a whole, it's going to be tough. 7-10. I think Matt Rhule is out of the way in Carolina after this season. But a 7-10 record is easily one to build upon with this team. Now, we don't know what the future is going to look like at that quarterback position in Carolina. What the future will look like with Christian McCaffrey. But I'm projecting a healthy season out of Christian McCaffrey this year, Baker Mayfield being the starting quarterback. That defense, looks like a hungry group in Carolina. But again, just not ready to take out some of these top teams, which will unfortunately bring that record down to be a middle-of-the-pack team this year at 7-10. But still a decent record to look at. And honestly, one to not, talk about too negatively in this division. And then last but not least, we are going to have the Atlanta Falcons in this division. And this is where things get interesting. Chicago Bears 12-15. I'm having the Atlanta Falcons also being a 12-15 team. So that we're going to see how that shakes up with our draft board here in this short little bit. But the Atlanta Falcons, whether it's Marcus Mariota at quarterback, whether it's rookie Desmond Ridder at quarterback, this does not look like a good team at Atlanta. The defense does not look great. The receiving options do not look great. We don't know who the running back is going to be. Is it going to be Cordell Patterson? It looks like Tyler Allgeier isn't even one of the top three options, the rookie that they're bringing in this year. Drake London is already getting hurt in the preseason, but, hopefully we'll be back by week one, but that's already a cause for concern with him. The Falcons will not be a good team this year, and no way can we sugarcoat anything of what's going to come in Atlanta this year. 2-15 record in Atlanta. That wraps up our NFL 2022 divisional rankings and record predictions. So now, real quick, before we get out of here, let's go down NFC playoffs, draft order, and we'll do a Super Bowl prediction. We'll throw that in here as well. So we'll go back up, do AFC playoffs. So we have the number one seed, Buffalo Bills. Here we'll try to get this back and formatted correctly. Buffalo Bills, we had a 13-4 record, number one seed in the AFC. Behind them, Kansas City Chiefs, the number two seed. So all roads go through Buffalo, but the Chiefs still a dominant force to be reckoned with 12-5 record, bringing up that second spot. And then the third seed we are having, so we'll look at it here. We have a tie at the division, a tie at 11-6 to determine the 3-4 spot in the AFC. The way we have it going down, we have the Colts having the 4-2 divisional record, Ravens having a 3-3 divisional record. So we have the Indianapolis Colts with their 11-6 record at the 3 spot. A big year out of the Colts this year if they can get that third seed. And then the Baltimore Ravens being that also 11-6 record, but having that 3-3 record in that division will be costly for the Baltimore Ravens, being a 4 seed instead of the 3 seed, because that's the big of a deal early into the playoffs. So next up, we got to figure out our three wild card teams in the AFC, out of the AFC conference. So the first one will, of course, be the Chargers, also having an 11-6 record, but not enough to get past the Chiefs in that division. So they're going to be, the first team out, first team as a wild card spot for this team. And then next up at the sixth spot, we have, looking at it again, a lot of teams, this 10-7 record. Actually, three teams, a 10-7 record, where it's going to come down to these last two playoff spots between the Cincinnati Bengals, Miami Dolphins, and Tennessee Titans. So we'll look at it first, see which team has the best divisional record. I have the Titans, a 4-2 record in this AFC South division. So we are going to go Tennessee Titans up next in the sixth spot. Tennessee Titans, 4-2 divisional record, 10-7. Overall record this season in the final two spots comes down. Actually, final spot is going to come down between the Miami Dolphins and the Cincinnati Bengals, both having 10-7 records. We're looking at it here. Both teams having, actually, we're changing. The Dolphins, I have a 4-2 divisional record in this AFC East, while I have the Cincinnati Bengals a 3-3. So again, this is Cincinnati Bengals fans, you're going to be hating on me. The Miami Dolphins are giving the Bengals a taste of their own medicine. 10-7 Dolphins will be our 7th seed. The Cincinnati Bengals will be our first team out as a 10-win team. That's my prediction. I'm going with it. I think the Bengals just, I don't know. This is a tough one for me. Bengals first team out. That's, you know, the first bold prediction on the Slaw Sports Show for the 2022 season, unless you can see any of these other ones with these records, but this is huge. Cincinnati Bengals first team out, just representing the team of the Super, AFC in the Super Bowl, first team out in the AFC playoffs. And then the final team out, just to throw it in there, will be the Denver Broncos with their 8-9 record, 4-2 in that division as our in the 9 spot in the AFC, but second team out of the playoffs. So now let's look at NFC. Number 1 seed, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Here we go. Try to format this back. Tampa Bay. Buccaneers. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we had 14-3. Record for them. We'll try to get that figured out. There we go. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 14-3 record. They're taking that top spot easily in the NFC. However, right behind them, LA Rams, we have the 13-4 record. And then the Green Bay Packers at the 3 seed, holding that 12-5 record. So those are our top 3 seeds. And then we have the Eagles again, getting that division tiebreaker over the Dallas Cowboys. So Philadelphia Eagles, 10-7 will be our 4 seed, getting that division win in, and the home game in the first round of the playoffs. So the top seed with the byes, Buffalo Bills and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, the 2 through 4s will be the home teams in the playoffs. Now we have our NFC wild card teams. So first up, we're going to try to go back to the list. We have an 11-6 Minnesota and an 11-6 New Orleans. So a tiebreaker here to determine the, you know, the top seed in the wild card. We have the Saints, a 3-3 divisional record. The Vikings, a 3-3 divisional record. But we actually have a Saints head-to-head over, that they have that I had on their schedule. A, you know, head-to-head opponent that will be the second tiebreaker with the same divisional record. So the Saints will be 11-6 at the 5 spot. Minnesota Vikings, 11-6 at the 6 spot. And then our 7 spot will be our 10-7 Dallas Cowboys. So Dallas Cowboys clinching that last seed in the playoffs, which means our first team out is going to be the San Francisco 49ers. So again, that head-to-head divisional record over the Cardinals, 9-8 record. So Trey Lance, you know, first year fully committed to being the starting quarterback, first team out in the NFC playoffs, and then it looks like behind them we will be having the Arizona Cardinals. At 9-8. So what a shakeup here we have for our playoffs and our predictions. So Cardinals and Niners, the first two teams out in the NFC, and the Cincinnati Bengals, a huge stunner of what we have on our record predictions, being the first team out of the AFC. And while we're at it, let's go ahead. Draft order, number one team, we had a 2-15 Atlanta Falcons and a 2-15 Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears 1-5 in their division. Talk about a wolf in the NFC North. So the Chicago Bears, in my season predictions, get the number one pick in the NFL draft, the 2023 NFL draft. Ideally, you know, trade down if you're the Chicago Bears, if they get that number one spot. But right behind them at the 2 spot will be the Atlanta Falcons, 2-15 record. And then let's see, the 3 spot will come down to the 3-14 New York Giants in the draft. 3-14 Giants. Then it looks like next up will be the New York Jets. So the New York Jets will be in a position here where if Zach Wilson is not their quarterback, here having, 4-13 record. Here at that 4 spot, they have a real kicker here to go on these top quarterbacks in the draft this year. A big, you know, quarterback-heavy draft class coming up. So the Jets have a big choice to make with that 4th overall selection. And finally, just to put it out here, Seattle Seahawks will be having our number 5 pick. 5-12 record. Doesn't seem like they're battling it out with anyone else. So, yep, solidified 5. Oh, Houston Texans. So Houston Texans, trying to pull it back up here to really establish it as that last spot. Last spot in our top 5 of the draft. Seahawks went 1-5 in my predictions in their division. And then we'll see Houston Texans. See what they have. 2-4. So yeah, Seattle Seahawks will be in the fifth spot, and at the 6th spot we will have the Houston Texans. So that's our draft order. We have one more thing to discuss here. My Super Bowl prediction. Way too early Super Bowl prediction. I like the top seeds, and I like the story of what this could be. We're going to go try to get the formatting here. Buffalo Bills over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's my Super Bowl prediction. Bills Mafia, rejoice. I have Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for my season preview. Way too early Super Bowl prediction. I think Tom Brady goes out in the sunset in the Super Bowl, but the Bills Mafia, they end the curse in the Super Bowl. And not only that, they do it against the player who has tormented them for the last 20 years in Tom Brady. What a storyline and what a storybook finish that this season could have. So there we have it. Buffalo Bills over Tampa Bay Buccaneers is our Super Bowl prediction. Here we have our playoff preview. Here we have our top five picks in the draft. And finally, our full 32-team record predictions for this season. So that's what we have. Thank you all for joining. This has been a lot of work going into it, but I've absolutely enjoyed the entire process, breaking down division by division, breaking down all 32 teams, giving a full season preview, and ultimately bringing it all together for a full season prediction for the 2022-2023 NFL season. Thank you all for joining. Thank you all for stopping by. If you have not subscribed, go ahead and do so. We will have more content on the way throughout the entire season. So stay, sit tight. We're not going anywhere on the Saw Sports Show. It is time to get down to business with the football games. So with that being said, that's all for today's episode. Thank you all for joining. If you missed any part of today's episode, it will be posted on our YouTube channel. We will also be having our full record columns that we just established on our Twitter page as well. So you'll find it there at the Saw Sports Show. And just thank you all for stopping by. Thank you all for tuning in. You can check us out on the podcast if you missed any part of the episode and you prefer the podcasting format. So again, one more time, more people showing up. Here is our record predictions for the 2022-2023 NFL season. But we are going to be out of here. So there's one more look at it. That's all the time we have. So until next time.